Okay, he said. Cool. We're good to go. The light is like a laser sight. Can't miss. The other guy said, remember, aim low. If you see him, jerk the barrel down and fire at his feet. If he doesn't surrender first. Exactly. First choice is to immobilize him, but if he moves, shoot him. Where will he be? Could be anywhere. Probably out of sight at the bottom of the stairs, or hiding behind the water heater. It's big enough. They followed the light out to the hallway and stopped near the basement door. The guy with the gun said, you open it and step back and then get behind me. I'll go down slowly and I'll move the light around as much as I can. Tell me if you see him. We need to talk each other through this. Okay, the other guy said. He put his hand on the knob. We sure about this? I'm ready. Okay. On three. Your count. The guy with the gun said, one. Then, two. The other guy said, wait. He could be right behind the door. At the top of the stairs? Just waiting to jump out at us before we're ready, you think? That would mean he's been waiting our whole hour. Sometimes they wait all day. Snipers do. This guy wasn't a sniper. But it's possible. He's probably behind the water here. But he might not be. I could fire through the door. If he isn't there, that would alert him. He'll be alerted anyway as soon as he sees the flashlight beam coming down. The door has a steel core. You heard what Seth said. The guy with the gun asked, so what do we do? The other guy said, we could wait for daylight. Boredom, irritation, exasperation, humiliation. The guy with the gun said, no. Okay, so I'll open up real fast and you fire one round immediately right where his feet are. Or where they would be, just in case. Don't wait and see, just pull the trigger, whatever, right away. Okay. But then we'll have to go down real fast. We will. He'll be in shock. I bet that gun is pretty loud. Ready? I'm ready. The guy with the gun estimated the arc of the swinging door and shuffled a foot closer and braced himself, the stock to his shoulder, one eye closed, his finger tight on the trigger. The other guy said, aim low. The oval of light settled on the bottom quarter of the door. On three, your count. One. Two. Three. The first guy turned the knob and flung the door wide open, and the second guy fired instantly with a long tongue of flame and a huge, roaring 12-gauge boom. Chapter 48. Reacher had studied the electrical panel and had decided to cut all the circuits at once because of human nature. He was pretty sure that the football players would turn out to be less than perfect sentries. Practically all sentries were less than perfect. It was any army's most persistent problem. Boredom set in, and attention wandered, and discipline eroded. Military history was littered with catastrophes caused by poor sentry performance. And football players weren't even military. Reacher figured the two in the house above him would stay on the ball for about 10 or 15 minutes, and then they would get lazy. Maybe they would make coffee or turn on the television and relax and get comfortable. So he gave them half an hour to settle in, and then he cut all the power at once to be sure of killing whatever form of entertainment they had chosen. Whereupon human nature would take over once again. The two in the house above him were used to dominance, used to getting their own way, used to having what they wanted, and accustomed to winning. Being denied television, or warmth, or coffee, wasn't a major defeat or the end of the world. But for guys like that, it was a proxy version of a poke in the chest on a sidewalk outside a bar. It was a provocation. It would eat away at them, and it would not be ignored forever. Ultimately, they would respond. because of ego. The response would start with anger, and then threats, and then intervention, which would be inexpert and badly thought out. Human nature. Reacher hit the circuit breakers and found the stairs in the dark and crept up to the top step and listened. The door was thick and tight in its frame, so he didn't hear much, except the bouts of hammering an inch from his ear, and then the scream from the doctor's wife, which he discounted immediately because it was clearly staged. He had heard people scream before, and he knew the difference between real and fake. Then he waited in the dark. All went quiet for the best part of an hour, which was longer than he expected. All bullies are cowards, but these two had a little more pussy in them than he had guessed. They had a shotgun, for God's sake, and he assumed they had found a flashlight. What the hell were they waiting for? Permission? Their mommies? He waited. Then, eventually, he sensed movement and deliberation on the other side of the door. He imagined that one guy would be holding the shotgun and the other would be holding the flashlight. He guessed they would plan to shuffle down slowly behind the gun, like they had seen in the movies. He figured their primary intention would be to capture him and restrain him, not to kill him, partly because there was a large conceptual gap between sacking a quarterback and murdering a fellow human being, and partly because Seth Duncan would want him alive for later entertainment. So if they were going to shoot, they were going to aim low, and if they were smart, they were going to shoot immediately, because sooner or later they would have to realize that his own best move would be to be waiting right there at the top of the stairs for the sake of surprise. He felt the doorknob move, and then there was a pause. He put his back flat on the wall, on the hinge side of the door, and he put one foot on the opposite wall at waist height, and he straightened his leg a little, and he clamped himself tight, and then he lifted his other foot into place, and he walked himself upward, palms and soles, until his head was bent against the stairwell ceiling, and his ass was jammed 4 feet off the ground. He waited. Then the door flew open away from him, and he got a split-second glimpse of a flashlight taped to a shotgun barrel, and then the shotgun fired instantly at point-blank range and a downward angle right under his bent knees, and the stairwell was instantly full of deafening noise and flame and smoke and dust and wood splinters from the stairs and shards of plastic from where the muzzle blast blew the protruding flashlight apart. Then the muzzle flash died, and the house went pitch dark again, and Reacher vaulted out of his clamped position, his right foot landing on the top stair, his left foot on the second, balanced, ready, using the bright fragment of visual memory his eyes had retained, leaning down to where he knew the shotgun must be, grabbing it two-handed, tearing it away from the guy holding it, backhanding it hard into where he knew the guy's face must be, achieving two results in one, making the guy disappear backward and recycling the shotgun's pump action both at once, loudly. Crunch! Crunch! And then shouldering the swinging door away and feeling it crash against the second guy, and bursting out of the stairwell and firing into the floor, not really seeking to hit anyone but needing the brief light from the muzzle flash. Seeing one guy down on his left and the other still up on his right, launching himself at that new target, clubbing the gun at the guy, cycling the action again against his face, crunch, crunch, bringing him down, kicking hard against his fallen form, head, ribs, arms, legs, whatever he could find, then dancing back and kicking and stamping on the first guy in the dark, head, stomach, hands, then back to the second guy, then the first again, all unaimed and wild, overwhelming force indiscriminately applied, not giving up on it until well after he was sure no more was required. Then he finally stopped and stepped back and stood still and listened. Most of what he heard was panicked breathing from the room on his left, the dining room. He called,
"Doctor, this is Reacher. I'm okay. No one got shot. Everything is under control now, but I need the power back on."
No response. Pitch dark.
"Doctor! The sooner the better, okay?"
He heard movement in the dining room, a chair scraping back, a hand touching a wall, a stray foot kicking a table leg. Then the door opened, and the doctor came out, more sensed than seen, a presence in the dark. Reacher asked him,
"Do you have another flashlight?"
The doctor said,
"No." "Okay, go switch on the circuit breakers for me. Take care on the stairs, they might be a little busted up."
The doctor said,
"Now?"
"In a minute," Reacher said. Then he called out, "You two on the floor, can you hear me? You listening?" No response, pitch dark. Reacher moved forward, carefully, sliding his feet flat on the floor, feeling his way with the toes of his boots. He came up against the first guy's head and worked out where his gut must be and jammed the shotgun muzzle down into it, hard. Then he pivoted onward as if pole vaulting and found the second guy a yard away. They were on their backs, roughly in a straight line, lying symmetrically, feet to feet. Reacher stood between them and kicked the side of his left boot against one guy's sole and his right boot against the other's. He got set and aimed the shotgun at the floor in front of him and rehearsed a short arc, left and then right and back again, like a batter in the box loosening up his swing ahead of a pitch. He said,
"If you guys move at all, I'm going to shoot you both in the nuts, one after the other."
No response. Nothing at all. Reacher said,